Good afternoon. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Chuck Petted, the head of Republic Retail. Good afternoon, Chuck. How you doing?
Afternoon, Mark. Thanks. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us today. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Sure. So I started off in New York City 23 years ago, believe it or not, and kind of classic New York City Wall Street career upbringing. I got into hedge funds at one point, and then grad school, and then I got the entrepreneurial bug, started my own company, real estate finance related. The same time I started dabbling in angel investing, was looking to change things up after about 7 years, didn't really want to be in real estate finance, wanted to get back more into the more mainstream investment world, but I was too far removed from it. So I actually started a micro VC fund, and as soon as I did that, and the point of it was to just help me with networking, and it helped me network. People thought it was cool that I had other people's money, and they invited me to be a panelist and a judge and a mentor and a participant in different like startup ecosystem events. That led me to a couple of people who were at AngelList in the middle of their, actually toward like the later half of their formation of Republic. And Republic was going to be launched around the same time as a particular law from the 2012 Jobs Act became effective in May of 2016. It was a light bulb moment. I wanted to be part of it. I wanted to be an investor. I was able to kind of claw and scratch my way into a small investment with the hook that I had to come on as an advisor to build out the deal team. We were five people back in 2016, and that deal team became Republic Retail, which is what we're calling it today at Republic.
Wow. So it started out basically 6 years ago, and now you've gone from five to over 200. That's impressive.
Correct. So we're in the 265 ballpark of total employees. That does not include the 100 or so people that will be coming along with an acquisition that we announced recently to acquire Cedars out of London. They're the world's first investment crowdfunding platform. They had a many year head start on the US industry. Their laws were a little ahead of ours.
Yeah.
But
very cool. And, you know, when most people think of crowdfunding, I mean, they think of Kickstarter or something like that. I have a funny feeling you're a lot different than them. So why don't you tell us what you do?
We are. You probably noticed already, I say investment crowdfunding. Back in 2016 and 17, even in all the way through 18, we were equity crowdfunding. Well, Republic has built something different. Like, we have not just equity offers or equity listed deals for investors to participate in. There's debt, there's revenue share, there's cryptocurrency. We've built a marketplace for investors to have at their fingertips early, middle, and late stage private opportunities in equity, debt, revenue share, and cryptocurrency, also across multiple vertical, real estate, music, technology, cryptocurrency, local, small and medium-sized business, healthcare, et cetera. So you have a lot of opportunity, optionality as an investor.
Mm-hmm.
Across any, you know, anything your heart desires, essentially.
Very cool. So it sounds like, I mean, you started out, we're going to just say 6 years ago, and you grew.
Yeah.
I mean, you had to, there had to be some growing pains there, I have to assume. Is that correct? Have you been mainly based in New York, or are you based, you know, all over the place?
Primarily, our headquarters is New York. That's where the bulk of the team is located. Republic did go a couple of different routes, though. So we have Republic Retail. Mm-hmm. We also have Republic Blockchain, which is an advising and consulting practice in the blockchain space. And we have Republic Capital, which is our accredited investor-only platform. They mm-hmm. typically deal with late stage companies that are out raising $100 or $200 million, and maybe we'll raise $25 or $50 million for those companies. The retail companies will raise anywhere from a few hundred thousand upwards to $75 million.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a handful of those, and a whole bunch that have done 1 to 5 and even 10 plus million. But the majority of the numbers are in the, say, $250,000 to $750,000 range is what they're raising on our platform from the crowd.
Mm.
We've worked with over 500 companies since inception, just in the retail arm, and have raised a little over $300 million of closed commitments, and have about another $100 million in reservations that we're working on closing this quarter. And it's just the beginning. It was in 2016, we had six companies, and it was something like 35, 45, 65, 140. Last year was almost 230. We did over 400% or four times more raise than we did in all of 2021. And I'm sorry, in 2020 versus 2021. This year, I'm pretty confident we'll be a lot higher than 2021 was. And that doesn't include what we, you know, are going to get out of working together with Cedars and the European expansion that's on the horizon there. And it's been, yeah, it's been a lot of growth, but definitely not all just Republic Retail. My other, you know, business unit heads are and colleagues are doing quite well on the blockchain advisory and the capital space as well.
Yeah, I would think especially blockchain. That is a hot topic right now.
Yeah, you know, it did start off in the retail realm. We found it to be what we were offering through investment crowdfunding was really relevant to the pain points, and it could help ease the pain points that cryptocurrency companies were facing in 2016 and 2017. They basically couldn't distribute their tokens to a wide swath of people, but through investment crowdfunding, you could. And it worked, but we hit crypto winter in late 2017, early 2018, and the deal flow dried up, but we were left over with a really good brand and understanding in the industry that we were one of the few who embraced, you know, the regulatory and legal and compliance parts of blockchain. Not many people did. So that's how our advisory arm started, was with that brand and that understanding across the industry that we were the people who actually liked regulations when a lot of people in the industry don't.
Well, a lot of people too thought blockchain was a way to get around regulations.
Yeah, we knew it wasn't. There's a lot of illegal activities happening that we have successfully navigated in a legal and compliant way.
Yeah, and as long as there is a government body out there, there will always be regulations. I think it's a safe way to put it. Would you agree?
I agree.
So since you've had all this explosive growth, now that you've had to work from home and work remotely, I'm assuming as you grow now, are you planning to basically stay in New York? Or are you going to say, hey, you know, if there's someone really good out in Minnesota, if that's the best person, we'll hire them.
So let's look at it like this. The nationwide lockdown started in March of 2020. We were about 65 people at the time.
Wow.
We announced our first major acquisition in April of 2020, followed up a couple months later with the second, followed up a few months later, also in 2020 with our third. We went from 65 to now 265 since the lockdown started in March of 2020. And for the most part, it has been remote. Leading up to it, our company culture and how we allowed our teams to operate would be work from home or work from anywhere, work from the coffee shop, work from France if you'd like. Just, you know, let people know, be transparent about it, and be responsible for the things that you're supposed to be working on. If you're going to be off for the day, just have a backup. Let your team members know. Let your manager know, kind of thing. So we had a pretty relaxed culture heading into the nationwide lockdown, the world lockdown, and it wasn't a huge, you know, change for us. It wasn't really business as usual those first 2 weeks of the lockdown. Things were pretty ugly. Major market moves. We lost it. You know, we saw basically no activity in our marketplace. There were a couple signs. You can see, you know, if you make an investment at Republic, you can leave a comment and why you did it. And those are the signs. You could read the people's comments and they're saying very positive things. You know, I'm still in, I'm still a believer. I know it's like pretty bad out there today, but we're going to keep this going. That kind of attitude. And 3 weeks after the start of the lockdown, we were basically back to regular numbers. 4 weeks after the lockdown, we were actually above numbers, and we stayed above numbers for several weeks, if not several months, during the height of the pandemic. 99% of the team stayed at home during that period. And they were spread out across the country. Some did get up and leave New York and went to their parents' home, or some even teamed up with friends and, you know, rented a house in a remote location or some other, you know, part of the country that they all wanted to hang out in or centralized to where they each were. But it worked. We, of course, ran into problems of there's a lot of lost in translation by having everything done digitally or over Slack and over email and whatnot. So, and we took a couple actions to, you know, there weren't tensions, but there was also just like to to make the communication stronger. You had to have those, like you missed out on so many casual events and walking up, you know, the water cooler moments. We don't have a water cooler, but there were water cooler moments, and we needed to kind of replicate that through Zoom. And we had a couple of things that we did on Zoom that actually bridged the gap.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, you started to see some people come back to the office. I was one of them. I was after a few months, I was pretty sick of being at home. And I would walk, and I live in Manhattan. I would walk for roughly 42 blocks, I believe, to the office, and then do my thing. And we were in this beautiful building in Midtown Manhattan, and there was literally no one there. I mean, there's a security guard or two, there's a couple of maintenance people, and then occasionally Ken Nguyen, who founded the company, and I would be there together at the same time, but we were sitting in a huge office with no one there. So it was interesting, but slowly over time people started to come back as the, you know, restrictions ease, especially once the shots kicked in. And I think what actually brought us back together up until Omicron, which I'll get to in a second, was people wanted that compatibility. They wanted to be around, they wanted to be around their teammates, and they wanted to have that like daily interaction. We would have a social event just for, you know, not to pressure people to come in, but it's like, hey, we're having a social event. Should we even tell anyone? Yeah, we'll kind of put it out there. Hey, I'll come. And people come that day, and then they come the next day, and then there's some stickiness.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of snowballed into a point where we got to before Omicron, and obviously we had grown a lot. We had also downsized a lot from a large office to a very small office to then a kind of medium-sized office, but we were busting at the bridges because too many people were coming to that medium-sized office. And then Omicron hit, and then everyone left. I'm actually in my office right now, but not too many people are here.
And do you foresee them starting to come back? Because it's, you can see the numbers starting to go down.
I think the same thing will happen, just like it did about a year ago, where there'll be some social events. So there's some high-end meetings, or someone's going to be in town and they want to come to the office, or will come to see them, and they add up. And I would guesstimate by the end of February, we're probably going to have the situation of not having enough office space, which we're already trying to work on. So we'll have that taken care of, I think, by like, you know, April 1st, but there'll be a period there where it's pretty tight in the office.
Yeah. But I think, especially, you know, the Manhattan culture, people crave that individual one-on-one and in the right. And do you agree with that?
They do, but like not in the banking sector. My wife is in the banking sector. We worked in Midtown for, we had an office in Midtown for a long time. That was a ghost town. They're not there. A lot have kind of came back, and then they saw cases rise in the office and they went home. Banks pushed the date that they had a return. They changed the rules and the different like ways of getting people like integrated back into the office life so many times that now everyone's just kind of given up and it's staying at home. At least from the major industry perspective in New York City. But with us, and I see it, across some, a handful of other that I'm familiar with, technology companies, early stage startups. We're not too early stage, but there's a camaraderie and a hustle and a desire to be around each other. So people have been doing it more in that industry than others.
Yeah. And I think just people in general, what I think is going to happen is it's going to go to the hybrid. People still want to go into the office, but they don't want to be there every day for 8 or 9 hours, right? I think it's going to be more of a hybrid.
Fridays are a drop off. There's hardly anyone in the office on Friday. It's de-stressing to wake up on a Friday morning, not have to rush to get, to your commute, to get to the office, to do the same thing on the way home. Less pressure. You actually probably perform better, to be realistic, to be honest. And there's no pressure here whatsoever for people to do it one way or another. They're free to, make their own decision. Yeah, we do have vaccination rules, and if you've been exposed or if you've recently tested positive, things like that. But that's not crazy.
Yeah, well, cool. And where do you think this is going? Do you think it's going to go to the hybrid model, or do you think it'll go back to the way it was?
I don't think it'll go back to the way it was. I have a hard time imagining how major industries like the banking or the law industry are going to adapt to this.
Mm-hmm.
I've not seen them. Like, they've started to get to a point during post-Delta post the vaccination being available to people, it started to look like they were going to get into a groove. And then this Omicron thing really, like, you know, disrupted everything. So it's hard. I can't imagine what those industries are going to do to make it hybrid. Mm-hmm. In the tech sector, in the private industry sector, I think it's definitely going to be a hybrid situation.
Definitely tech, because tech was already going that way anyway. So I think
it was just like us. Yeah. Like, it wasn't that big a deal for us to go from, like, oh, if we have an office to no one wants to go to the office, no one is going to the office. That was not
big a deal. Yeah. So, well, Chuck, it was great talking to you today. It sounds like you're going to have your hands full over the next, for 2022 with a new acquisition and probably some more to come. So I wish you the best of luck and a great 2022.
All right. Thank you. I really appreciate it, Mark.
All right.